But first, with younger people in particular so enamoured of video games, can we use this as a teaching tool to boost classroom learning? Duncan Astle researches this very field at the MRC's Cognition and Brain Sciences Unit in Cambridge. Hello, Duncan.
Hello.
So to what extent, then, is there evidence that this could be used for benefit in the learning environment?
Well, the evidence is mixed. So the theory goes that we know there are lots of cognitive skills that are very important for learning in the classroom. For example, working memory, the ability to hold in mind and use small amounts of information. So if I gave you a math sum to perform, that would really tax your working memory. And the theory goes that if I could generate some games that were fun, that children could play, that really tax their working memory skills, then by putting them through a kind of course of training, that ought to have knock-on benefits for learning. That's the theory, at least.
That's the theory. So what's the evidence actually say?
It depends who you ask.
I'm asking you.
Okay. So I think the evidence that you can get what we refer to as near transfer. So if you train children on working memory games, for example, then you find that you can get benefits on similar but untrained working memory exercises. So in our paper, what we were interested in is, what is the impact on children's brains of being put through these kinds of intensive training exercises?
What did you get them to do, and how did you measure them?
So we recruited around 30 or so children. We assessed their cognitive skills using some standard assessments that are used by teachers and educationists. We gave them a brain scan using a technique called magnetoencephalography, or MEG for short. The children were then sent off, and whilst they were away, they did 20 sessions of online games. The games were quite short, they were fun, but they all required the children to tax their working memory skills. And half the children did this kind of intensive working memory training regime. And half the children did a placebo intervention. So they played the same games for the same duration, but the games were pegged at a low level. So they were really quite straightforward. They didn't really make many demands on working memory. And then the children came back to the lab 4 to 6 weeks later. We retested them with everything. And we found that the children who had had the intensive version, indeed their working memory skills had significantly improved. And the brain scans revealed that we could detect significant changes in their brains, particularly in the networks involved in attention, in memory. And they were significantly enhanced in the children that had the intensive version relative to the controls.
To what extent do you think this is going to be a long-term change? Or do you think that as soon as they stop playing the game, or whatever they were doing, then they're going to revert to where they started?
Well, we know that these kinds of gains are still measurable up to a year later. So a year later, the children will have retained around 85% of the gain that they made. So that's quite substantial.
Do you think age is a factor as well? Do you think that people playing David's games, for example, need to be doing that from a young age to reap a benefit?
Well, the question of benefit is an interesting one, right? So all we've shown is that if you give children games that tax these cognitive skills, they get better at similar but untrained skills. And the theory is that the younger you are, the more plastic the brain ought to be, and therefore the gains ought to be bigger. But there's not been all that much work to support that. But the question of gains is a really interesting one, because there are some people who argue that this kind of intensive training is the cure for all sorts of ills, you know, problems with reading, problems with maths, diagnoses of ADHD. What you need is working memory training. However, some of the evidence that's used to kind of make those claims tends to be based on studies that aren't always so well designed. So, you know, no control group, or they've got a control group, but they don't actually do anything, or the children aren't randomly allocated to groups. And we know that these things can make a really big difference. And when you do a study with the kind of gold standard design, actually the benefits, the wider benefits for things like maths and reading of this kind of working memory training
negligible. Do you think that the critical thing is that game, intrinsic to a game, is fun? And therefore, if it's stimulating, it gets much better engagement because the children are having fun. And it's because they've got that strong motivation and buy-in, they engage with it very powerfully, that's why they get the cognitive benefit.
I think that could well be the case. So if you had the time to leaf through our paper, then you'll see in the data there's a large degree of variability in how much of an improvement the children show. And I suspect that a big part of that is the extent to which they're motivated. And the games are designed to be fun and playable, the kind of thing that you enjoy doing. If you speak to the parents...
Well, unlike a maths lesson.
Exactly. Maths can be fun too. But if you speak to the parents, and they say that actually sometimes it was quite a chore to get the children to do these games. So I think that intrinsic motivation is an important aspect of the kinds of benefits that they may get.
Duncan, thank you. That's Duncan Astle. He's from the MRC's Cognition and Brain Sciences Unit at Cambridge. Kat.